Hello, everyone, and welcome back.
Welcome back, everyone, to another creepy, crawly episode of...
Mutants.
Slayers.
And Jedi.
Oh, my.
Oh, my. So, what are we talking about this week?
This week, we're talking about Spider-Man Far From Home.
Far From Home. Yay!
So, Giselle.
Yes.
Did you like this movie?
I really like this movie.
Yeah. I really like this movie.
Right?
I like this movie a lot.
Me too. These Spider-Man movies.
They're just knocking it out of the park every time.
Aren't they, though?
Oh. I mean, this and Into the Spider-Verse and the first Homecoming and now this one. And I'm like, okay, Marvel, you got this guy on lock. I got it.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely. I completely agree. Yeah.
So great. Good podcast. Bye, guys.
Everyone. All right. Check us out next week.
So I do have a question, though, because I think we didn't really rank our Spider-Man movies, but in the new ones, the first three new ones that we've had, Far From Home, Homecoming, and Into the Spider-Verse, how do they rank to you?
Okay.
Hard question.
I would rank them Into the Spider-Verse being number one. This one as number two, and then Homecoming is number three.
Girl, I am there with you.
Yes.
I'm on the same page.
Yes.
Spider-Verse, I was talking to my best friend about it, and we were talking about the rankings of Spider-Man movies, and I was like, I just think out of all of them, even going back to the Sam Raimi ones and everything, it's Into the Spider-Verse is the one to beat.
Right?
Best one.
We kind of did a whole episode on it, so please feel free to go and check that out.
Watch this. Episode 34.
Wow.
Yeah.
On it.
How do you like that?
So on it. I love it. Yeah. I mean, that one for me is number one because I think it's one of those practically perfect movies as far as setups and payoffs and the storytelling, et cetera, et cetera. Listen to us talk about it.
Yeah. No, that movie is the one to beat, but this movie is fucking awesome.
Yes. Yes. Because,
so I'm excited to talk about this. And since we've kind of covered Spider-Man last time.
Right. Who are we going to talk about then? Who are you going to give us a history on? Tell me.
Okay. So we're going to do a little brief history rundown of Mysterio.
Mysterio.
Beck. So he was a failed actor, but gifted special effects artist.
I already love him, and I feel like this was channeled. Yes.
Exactly.
I already love it.
He turned to villainy when his lofty Hollywood aspirations passed him by.
I love him so much. I already loved him, and now I love him more.
Yeah, I mean, his comic book version is so entertainingly ridiculous and bombastic. If you ever watched the original, like, cartoon version of Spider-Man, that's him. I mean, that's him from the comics.
Okay.
Like, hello, Spider-Man! And, like, his voice, like, echoes and stuff.
It's crazy. God, I love it.
It's fucking fabulous.
Oh my God.
His first major act as a supervillain was to frame Spider-Man for a museum robbery, with Beck portraying himself as a hero. So, a lot of similarities, sort of.
I was going to say.
On a grander scale to this
Right.
movie.
It seems like, just from what I've heard so far, they've channeled the true spirit of this guy.
Absolutely.
Nice.
So, obviously, he premiered in Marvel Comics, The Amazing Spider-Man number 13 in June 1964, and he was created by, can you guess who? Stan Lee.
Oh, that guy?
And Steve Ditko.
Oh, that, and those guys together.
Those guys.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Might be familiar to you.
Yeah.
Steve Ditko was like the Spider-Man artist for a while in the 60s. Freaking interesting history on that guy. Everyone should read up on him. He's very strange. but also very entertaining. And he's also like the quintessential artist for Doctor Strange. Like his long, weird fingers and stuff.
Ooh.
Like that's all Steve Ditko.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So Mysterio was created by Stan Lee and Steve Ditko. It was later retconned that the alien scene in The Amazing Spider-Man 2 had been Mysterio and like his men in disguise. Anyway, it's the whole thing. I love retconning in comics. It's so fun. Anyway, so Quentin Beck is, like I said, he was a special effects wizard and a stuntman working for major Hollywood studios and was, like, having a dream of, like, becoming this big name in the industry. However, he, like, came to see his career in special effects as a dead-end job. and his attempts to become an actor were poorly received, but he realized that his expertise in illusions can make him an effective criminal, because that's his backup plan.
Oh my God. So, everyone in LA, this is another career path for you. Okay, okay, got it, okay, got it, got it, okay.
Just so you know, you have a fallback plan.
Oh, thank God. You know, I've been worrying about that these days, so thank you. Thanks, Mysterio.
Yeah, you don't have to serve coffee at Starbucks. You can turn to a life of crime.
Thank God.
Yeah? Phew. Girl. In his first battle with Spider-Man, after he frames Spider-Man for robbing the Midtown Museum, Mysterio obstructs the hero's spider senses with gas and dissolves Spider-Man's web with a chemical abrasive. As you do.
As you do.
As you do.
Yeah.
So, like, Mysterio's other big claim to fame, along with all of this crazy origin story, is that he joined what's called the Sinister Six.
Oh, I've heard of that. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, so, okay, so when Sony was trying to develop Spider-Man into this whole thing after the Sam Raimi stuff with Andrew Garfield, they were going to make a movie called The Sinister Six.
That's right. I remember that.
So they introduced in the second Spider-Man movie, like, they had hints at, like, the Falcon and like, all the other bad guys and Dr. Octopus people who just not appear in that movie at all.
Yeah.
they're like tentacles.
Yeah.
I still haven't seen that movie. I'm not watching this movie. Anyway, so Dr. Octopus gives each, like, he worked with Dr. Octopus. He was like the leader of the crew. And then there was like,
of course Spider-Man, he was the leader.
And, you know, a whole bunch of them.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, you know, Mysterio's been around for like a long time. And so he has a vast history of shit and just endlessly just tries to fuck with Spider-Man and kill him. Basically.
Gotcha. Okay.
And, like, obviously when he fails because of Spider-Man, then he's, like, out for vengeance against Spider-Man. It's just, like, an endless cycle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Kind of like your typical hero-villain dynamic, it sounds like.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, Quentin Beck himself doesn't possess, like, any superhuman abilities. Obviously, it's all illusions. Mm-hmm. But he's an expert designer, special effects and devices and stage illusions and a master hypnotist and magician and an amateur chemist and roboticist.
Okay, I'm sorry. When you said illusions, I just pictured Job from Arrested Development. Like, okay, so if he were to become a supervillain, this is
exactly.
This is the path he would take. Okay, I'm on it. I'm into it. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he has extensive knowledge of hand-to-hand combat techniques, which
we all know he learned to put on his acting resume, okay? We all know it.
He learned it as a stuntman.
Right? It was up there for special skills.
Special skills. I can ride a horse. I've never ridden a horse. stuff like that.
Yeah. I feel like I'm really connecting to this guy.
Yeah, you really are, like, the same person.
Wait, yeah.
Allowing him to engage in combat with Spider-Man despite his foe's superior physical abilities.
I'm enjoying this guy so much.
And so that's basically his rundown. I mean, there's not much more to say.
Yeah. I have to say, this is one of the times I'm glad I did not do any research on a character before watching it, because I knew there was something up with him. There had to be. But I'm glad that I waited to see the movie to find this stuff out, because when the reveal happened, I went, oh. And then learning about it now just deepens my love that I already had for him. Like,
I appreciated how they translated him to this movie.
Yeah, yeah.
It makes way more sense.
I was going to say, because you have that knowledge already, so
there's a level of me that was like, but I kind of miss his really, really ridiculous, bombastic, over-the-top Hollywood, I'm a failed actor approach to being in the world.
I'm making that choice that is, in fact, part of the movie canon. They just didn't have a chance to bring it up.
True. Okay,
you know,
I like
that. You know, because he tried
to go to work for this guy and, like, was creating illusions.
This was his backup plan working for Tony Stark, because obviously he was going to be a big Hollywood actor. Didn't pan out, but this was his backup, which he was always resentful of, which is why he was so pissed that Tony Stark didn't give him more love. He's like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why are you naming my magical, wonderful device Barf?
Yeah. Oh, God, I love that retcon scene of that black and white of him in the wings, so mad with his, like, clutching
his
pearls.
It was, like, the best Jake Gyllenhaal acting ever. I'm like, huh? Okay, what's this?
It was perfect. I loved it.
So, Jake Gyllenhaal is everything, and I love him a lot.
Me
too. We'll talk about him more.
Yes, we will.
I thought he did a great job.
Knocked it out of the park.
Yeah. He was, like, just over the top enough for me that I was like, okay, you're kind of channeling, like, original Quentin Beck, and I like it. So I think the next thing we should talk about really is Tom Holland.
Oh.
Who is just like charisma.
Right?
Bonafide as a human form.
He's so good. He's so good.
Why? Why is he so good?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
I'm just like, he's so young.
He's so talented.
So talented.
And has the audacity to be multi-talented, a good actor, and a good dancer.
And a singer.
Yeah. It's like, oh, fine. Be that way. Be the trifecta. Yeah. Be a triple threat. Everyone's fear.
And British and can do accents.
Yeah. And that would add another layer to Mysterio hating him. It's like, oh, you were a triple threat. Fuck you.
It's true.
Sorry, I'm just... It's
like, I can do those things, too.
Yeah.
I probably can dance. He can probably dance, right?
Probably. Probably. Ugh, God damn it.
I think we've seen him sing, right?
Probably.
So, okay, so we watched Tom Holland go from Queens with his Aunt May to overseas with his class. What did we think about Aunt May in this movie? She's not in it a lot.
I wish she were in it more, to be honest.
I love Marissa Tomei. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, me too.
Yeah. She should have been in it more, but that's what I'm always going to say that has to do with Marissa Tomei. I love her in this, and I love how she's just so proud of her nephew. Like, when they go backstage, they're high-fiving, and you can tell when he's speaking, she has this, like, that's my nephew. That's my family. I raised him. Yeah.
Like, did you think I was stiff? And he's like, no, not at all. He's like, she's like, well, I thought you were.
Yeah. No, they're dynamic. I mean, first of all, they have so much chemistry together. So there's never a doubt as far as their relation, the character's relationship. And I love their dynamic so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they're doing such a great job at, like, youngifying her, but also making her, like, I mean, comparatively to the comics, we talked about it.
Yes.
I think it's such a great dynamic between these two characters. And I think that I really can't wait to see what they do with her next. And I know she doesn't have a lot to do in these movies, and she's just sort of, like, there to, like, be his mom and, like, have a good time and kind of just, like, be funny.
Right.
But that's enough for me.
Yeah. And even though she is the mom character, they still give her so much more than they typically give to the mom characters, which I really appreciate. Like, everything, like, with her putting the banana in the suit in his suitcase, like, just those little touches that where she is such a full character. Even though we see her so briefly, she's a full character.
Totally. And I love the part where she threw a banana at his head.
Yes, I agreed. Like, and she's like, don't you have your Peter tingle?
Peter tingle. It's like, stop calling it that. Stop calling it my Peter tingle. May? I liked it a lot.
Me too.
So what did we think about May and Happy?
I'm into it. Nappy?
Nappy.
Because everyone needs to have a couple-y name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The name that comes together.
Yes. Just rolls off the tongue.
Yeah. It's real simple.
I'm proud of us right now for that.
Yeah.
I like it. And I like their flirtation and their dynamic, especially towards the end when he's interrogating them because he is...
Oh, that's so cute.
Oh, so cute.
I loved it so much.
Yeah. So it wasn't too in your face. And God, everyone in this movie has chemistry with each other. That's just something I'm going to be regurgitating over and over again. They had chemistry. And that was another relationship I totally believed. I thought it was cute. It wasn't too in your face. Just seeing them, especially Happy, be like a little nervous around her and her being like, yeah, I'm hot. Yeah. I'm Marissa Tomei.
Amazing.
Yeah.
You're lucky.
You're welcome.
I'm Marissa fucking Tomei.
Yeah. Everything about her character to her demeanor, her style, the way she carries herself, it's this nice contemporary portrayal of a modern parent, I think.
No, it's really nice. And I think she feels fully formed without them doing a lot of heavy lifting of addition or like explaining who she, like, they're just like, here she is.
Exactly. And it's this excellent combination of like good writing and her acting.
I mean, if anything, you can always rely on Marissa Tomei. You just throw her something and she'll do something.
And she's like, yeah, I got this.
Great. Cool.
Marissa Tomei.
I mean, a lot of people need a lot more help. Marissa Tomei's got it.
Yeah. Like, but no, I'm so enamored with this Aunt May.
Me too. So, speaking of chemistry, MJ and Peter.
God damn it. I just can't.
I mean, any time that you want to show people who are going to be good together, you make them work well together. And those two worked so well together in figuring out what's going going on and like showing the illusion, and she's supporting him and he's supporting her, and right. she's unraveled who he is. I mean, it's great.
Right. Talking about characters they've handled so well, MJ is another prime example, if not a slightly better example than Aunt May, because she's, you know, more featured in the movie. I love everything they've done with MJ. I love Zendaya as MJ. Just, like, her characterization of being this a little awkward but oddly confident in her own way. She very much knows who she is, and she likes who she is. I love the fact that she's, like, your Spider-Man. Like, yeah, I know.
It's great. I also like that she sort of second-guessed herself.
Yes!
There's a full person coming into the situation and being like, I have a feeling that I know what the answer is,
yes.
but I'm holding back a little bit because what if I'm wrong?
And you know what? I'm glad you brought that up, because with that trait right there, it doesn't put her into this unfortunately very common trope of the very smart female character who's just so good, but that gives that extra little bit of humanity to her and makes her more relatable and a better character.
Yeah. You feel like you know this girl, like,
yeah.
you know, this young lady,
yeah,
very, very well. And totally. I think Zendaya is such a fucking gift to this movie, and I think she fucking knocked
yeah.
it out.
Because we talked about it a little bit with the first one. She was only in the first one a little bit, and we talked about how we liked her, but she didn't really have a chance to do that much, but it was enjoyable to see what she had done. And yeah. in this one, the fact that she was in it so much, getting to do all these different things with her character, it was so exciting to watch that. I love how they fleshed her out. This yeah. is great.
Yeah. No, this is exactly everything I wanted them to do with her. Like, yeah. I was like, oh, thank goodness. Like, yeah. they're giving tons of screen time. She's still, like, snarky but funny, and they're building that out to a point where it's, like, it makes sense for her character. They're not neutering her. They're not, right. like, changing direction for her to make her more, like, fun and charismatic and relatable. They're yeah. like, here's what this is this person.
Exactly.
Yes. Funny, and she's snarky, and she's smart, and mm-hmm. she's beautiful, of course.
Oh
but
my
like
God.
She doesn't even play that up. She's like, who cares? And I love that line where he's like, oh, you're so pretty, and she's like, and therefore I have value. No. She's like, I'm just joking.
Yeah. But so it's like, I like this MJ.
Yeah, me too. I loved the fact that, okay, so, like, these movies answered a lot of questions I
yes,
had
yes.
after Endgame.
Yes.
And we talked about it. I was like, what does this mean, though? We're 5 years ahead. What does this mean? What are we at? What's going on? It answered all of that.
Right in the opening scene.
Right in the opening scene. And Betty Brandt was talking about it. She's so funny.
I freaking love Betty.
Betty's great.
Much. So the opening scene to this movie is great because not only is it humorous, it answered all these questions. The movie starts off with the dulcet tones of Whitney Houston. I will always love you.
Oh my God. Can we talk about this?
Yes.
This in memoriam for
oh my
Tony
God.
And all
this
the Avengers.
Memoriam with this cute little slideshow made on PowerPoint with some superimposed CGI doves.
I loved it so much.
Oh, God. It was so
good. It was so good.
It was perfect.
And then he's like, the other, like, student is just like, shout out to my boy who made it. I'm like, I like this a lot.
That's something about these Spider-Man movies that is so enjoyable, is that there's so much heart in them. They're so sincere and fun. You know, and just
yeah.
like these little humorous moments that you didn't need, quote unquote, but they make the movie so much better.
Yes. And yeah, okay. So they answered the question of, okay, so all the kids who were blinked away,
yeah.
turned to dust, who are now brought back after Endgame.
And they call it the blip when they
the
come
blip.
Back.
So now they have to re-enter school at the same year that they were in when they disappeared and start over again.
And I love how Betty said, for those of us who already started this year, starting over is kind of annoying. Like, I love that little, because that's so perfect. Like, all this stuff has happened, the world almost ending, et cetera, et cetera. But what do you care about? I have to fucking do junior year again? What the fuck? Like,
I have to fucking do my midterms all over again?
Oh, yeah. No, I would be pissed. That would be me. I would be Team Betty on that one.
Betty's great in this movie. I think, let's talk about Ned and Betty.
Oh, my God. Ned and Betty. So good.
I mean, we can talk about Ned by himself and Betty by herself.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Okay, so Ned is just the highlight of these movies.
Oh, God.
In general. He's so funny.
He's so
sweet.
Mm-hmm. So funny. So horrible. Sweet. And he's another, I mean, every character is like this. Another wonderful example of this fully fledged character that is so relatable. You know who they are. Like, you can say, oh, they probably react this way or that way to a situation because they're so well written and performed. I love his relationship with Peter, especially when he thinks that MJ doesn't know. He automatically is coming up with this story like, oh, I see you're wearing your costume. And it's like, I love how he already has his back. He's like, don't worry, I got you. I'm coming up with the story right now. Like, oh, Ned, I love you.
Ned is great. He's really funny. Like, he has, like, that thing of, like, sort of, like, that best friend thing of when we see it a little bit in Buffy and stuff, like, when somebody already knows the secret or, like, knows you're the superhero. And he's like, well, I knew it first.
Right? He's like, so, I mean, like, I'm not saying you're not as important as me, but I'm just saying, like, I knew before you.
I, like, literally knew it, like, a year before you.
But I love how he called it the FOS, the Friends of Spider-Man.
And Betty Brant we know less about, but she's really, like, really funny, really smart, mm-hmm. obviously. Probably wants to be a reporter. She seems to be, like, probably, like, top of her class.
Yeah, another example of a fully fledged character, which I appreciate with her in particular because they could have easily just made her a reward girlfriend for Ned, but they didn't do that. They were characters, and that's nice.
That is nice.
Yeah,
and Betty Brant is from the comics.
Awesome.
Originally as well. And so is Ned, obviously. Yay. And in the comics, they're both married. so they get married eventually. So we see that happen. I think they get divorced at some point. Anyway, you know, it's comics, so mm-hmm. it's a big fucking soap opera, so you can't just, like, have two people be, like, happy together.
God forbid. Their dynamic with each other was, I just love the whole journey of their love and relationship. It was such a perfect, this is our first love, we're going to be super into it. Hey, babe, I'm texting you, babe.
Yeah. And just, so mature about the breakup, too, which I really enjoyed.
And she's like, you're so wise. I'm like, yes. I love you guys.
I know, they're like, so mature, so sweet. He's like, do you want to go on a double date? Well, we kind of broke up. Okay, well, then, no. Great. The other relationship that we saw somewhat briefly, Aunt May and Happy.
Yes.
Okay. So we talked about them somewhat already, but what did you think?
I really like it. And I like that Happy is still in these stories. I like that carryover from the very first movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think we needed that touch of Tony Stark, like the Tony Stark world still in the Peter Parker world.
I'm glad you brought that up because that is something I thought they did very well with this movie, was introducing this new phase, but then mm-hmm. also reminding us the world we're in and going back to the very first movie, bringing in that scientist who is the same actor from the very first movie. So we're bringing it back that far. I loved and bringing in Tony Stark, you know, because the world is mourning him. They're missing him. Peter's missing him. Happy's missing him. So I thought they did that just enough to remind us what's happening in the story as far as relating it to Endgame, but it's still independent. You don't need to have necessarily seen Endgame to appreciate this movie. So it's just enough.
Absolutely. It's like every comic, like, it's what Stan Lee used to say about comic books. Mm-hmm. Every comic book, any comic book could be a reader's first comic. So you don't want them to come in and be like, I don't know what the fuck is going on. I'll never read this again. Like, you always want to keep that opportunity open to getting a reader on board. So we touched on the tiebacks to the first Iron Man, which I really appreciated. Like, you with scientists popping up. And, I mean, it's so nice to, like, tie back to what started this whole thing. Yeah. And now, like, everyone says, like, Endgame was the end to this, to the phase. Mm-hmm. But they're saying that this is the wrap-up.
I can see that. It was such a delightful moment when they had that flashback with that actor. And I went, oh, my God, Jeff Bridges in black and white. KKK. But I don't know what it was, but hearkening back to that very first one, it was this nice little moment of, oh, this is how far we've come. Oh, my God.
It's cool. It's really, really cool. And I think that it's so, the moment where, so Nick Fury comes to Peter Parker and is like, you have to save the world, blah. And he's like, sure. But basically, like, he was like, but what about, you know, anyone else? Like, what about Thor? He's on planet. What about yada, yada, you know, whoever else? And then he's like, what about Captain Marvel? And he's like, don't invoke her name. I was like, I did a lot. And then at the end, when you find out it's the Skrulls.
Yeah.
That are playing these two that are playing Nick Fury and
Maria Hill, yeah.
Almost works even on another level, right? That line. Because you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Because these are the Skrulls that were, like, rescued by Captain Marvel.
And also it made me happy because, oh, you two are still around. Oh, thank God.
I know, that was really exciting.
That was such a nice touch, really. The way they mixed in something from every little phase, I thought was well done. So I can see this as being the official end cap to that phase.
Yeah. And I think it's like the final goodbye to Iron Man, basically.
I think so, because
they decided that Spider-Man was the right person to say goodbye to Iron Man to wrap up the phase. Right. Start the new, and he's like the new person at the forefront of the next phase with like Captain Marvel and Black Panther. But like, he's the youngin' who is being trained by Iron Man. So it makes absolute sense.
Yeah, passing on the mantle via the glasses, which iconic.
Perfect segue into talking about Mysterio some more.
Yeah.
And bag of fucking lies.
Yeah.
Mysterio comes from, in this movie.
Okay, everyone, I hope you're comfortable. there's a rant, or maybe just a passionate speech.
An explanation, if you will.
Okay.
Yeah, an explanation rant. So, in this movie, Mysterio references that we are the 616 universe.
And before that, he says we're in a multiverse. He's from another Earth. Which is good timing because Into the Spider-Verse came out, and that was in the trailer, so it was this exciting, oh my gosh, is this tying into Spider-Verse in a way?
And I mean, the revelations of this movie and the things that we find out don't necessarily say no to any of that.
That's true.
No. That this boy was lying.
Well, he did take some acting classes, I am assuming.
I like it.
I'm sorry, that's my headcanon, I'm not giving it up.
So, Quentin says that he is from the universe, Earth 8, or Universe 833, and that we are the MCU, which is the Marvel Cinematic Universe, is the 616.
Uh-huh. And why is that? And why is that bad, James?
Because it's wrong. And I knew because I'm a big giant fucking dork sitting in the fucking movie theater going, that's untrue. Because the Marvel universe, the comic book universe, is 616.
Okay. Uh huh.
Which has been established for a long time.
Uh-huh.
And fuck you. The MCU is Earth 199999. So they made it really long because they're like, it's one of them. It's like out there and we'll probably never see it in like the Marvel comic book universe, but it exists in the world, like in that universe. So people can feel like, oh, maybe we'll see it someday. But the 833 universe is in the comics and it is home to a different Spider-Man named Spider UK, which is an amalgam of the characters Captain Britain and Spider-Man.
Oh.
And Captain Britain is, like, really ridiculous. And I really hope they do him one day. I really hope they do him one day. Like, this protector of the...
The United Kingdom?
No.
Oh.
Well, I mean, he is. But, like, the multiverse and different... And there's different iterations of him in the different universes.
Uh-huh.
So, like... like Spider UK is one, and like Captain Britain is another one who's like from the 616 and stuff like that. So like there's different and they wield energy and they're really powerful. Anyway, I like comics. So that's my rant. It's not much of a rant. It was just an explanation of why I sat there and went, well, he's lying. Like, in the first 25 minutes of this movie.
Like, so you knew.
Yeah.
You already knew. That was the giveaway. Like, liar.
Basically. Well, I also knew, I'm like, yeah, I could introduce Mysterio and make him, like, a good guy.
Right. So, for someone like me who was unaware of Mysterio's comic book version, just from the trailers, I remember thinking, he has to be a bad guy. Like, he has to be. And then when you watch the movie, he's just so good, and he's so encouraging of Peter, that I just thought, bad guy. too good. He's too encouraging. He's too charming. Jake Gyllenhaal, charming. Yeah.
And they shut it down pretty quickly, which I was happy with. I'm like, good.
The way they handled that, I thought was really good with his character when the great reveal happens. And just the way they did the great reveal, I was like, okay. You're an asshole. I like you. Okay.
You're dying schmuck.
Okay. And yeah, schmuck is the best way to describe his character. He's a schmuck. I love him. He is a schmuck. Yeah.
No, Jake Gyllenhaal's great. And he, you know, very obviously charismatic in this movie and is able to convince everyone that he is from a different universe, a different multi-universe.
Yeah.
And that he was following elementals to a different planet to save that planet from what happened to his own planet, which was burned up by the fire elemental.
Mm-hmm. Because it got so strong with the Earth's core.
I couldn't even. I was like, you know, I mean, like, all the crazy shit that we have seen in the MCU, I guess it's hard not to just believe someone at this point. You're like, sure.
Well, the character even says that in the story. Like, with all the ridiculous stuff that's happened, they believed it. They believed this ridiculous story I came up with. So I like that little bit of self-awareness. Like, yeah, we know. This is fucking ridiculous.
It's such a good... I mean, that scene... delivered by any other actor, like when he's expositing what's going on after he gets the glasses from Peter and manipulates him into giving him like all this power.
Oh my god!
Powerful satellite in the galaxy or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, Tony Stark's like last hurrah of like, here's a gift, Peter, you 16-year-old boy. Oh, anyway,
and the thing is, I get why the bad guys are salty. I get it. And that's another thing I liked about this is when they're all having their evil town meeting, when they're exchanging their grievances with each other, when you listen to their frustrations, you can't help but think, well, they got a point. I mean,
you're giving the most powerful device to a 16-year-old boy who almost kills his classmates on the bus.
And I hope this is a running gag with all the Spider-Man movies. I like how anytime he gets new tech, he kind of screws up with it at first.
Yes.
Like Karen. No, Karen, and then there's Edith. So I like how this...
Kill mode, Karen.
Exactly. So I like how this is... this. I hope this continues as far as him getting some new tech and going, oh, crap. Like, almost destroying something.
It's very Spider-Man.
Yeah, totally.
Like, he's always out of his depth. He's, like, never quite on top of it. And he kind of, like, tries his darndest. He sometimes gets out somewhat ahead, and then the world knocks him right back on his ass, basically. That's Peter Parker's story.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the most relatable superhero basically ever.
And, like, with this movie in particular, the fact that he just wants to have a normal trip with his classmates and just tell the girl he likes how he feels. And even though that sounds so trivial, which it kind of is, at the same time, you feel for him and you get it. Like, yeah,
well, that's what I mean. That's, you know, when you break down these stories, the most what drives them is this character and these characters and their relationships, and that's the most important part to any story, basically. But like, also just specifically Spider-Man, like he is thrown into this other crazy world-bending bullshit, but it's really just like about him and his relationship with Tony Stark, or his relationship with MJ, or his relationship with Aunt May. You know, like it's like all of these, or Ned, or whatever. Yeah. You know, like it's. It's really cool. You know, I mean, you can complain about a lot of things about the MCU, but, like, their ability to make friendships and relationships.
Yeah.
Not always romantic relationships.
They're so good at friendships. And to bring it back to, if I may, to bring it back to Mysterio a bit, something I loved this villain so much. He was a schmuck. And all the details with him, down to we see him walking around wearing the outfit actors in real life wear when they're going to superimpose special effects on them. I don't know what it was about that fucking killed me. I love that attention to detail. Like, he's probably from his actor days. Like, yeah, I have this. When I did motion capture on that video game and they never brought me back, I kept the suit.
Yeah. I kept this motherfucking suit because it's mine.
Yeah, it's mine. I earned it. Quentin is amazing. Quentin deserves this. He talks about himself in a third person.
Like, he announces himself.
Oh my gosh. And a comment you made earlier, I completely agree with it, about how he's just over the top enough. Like, he's going into that territory of the mustache twirling villain, and it's so entertaining. I watch him and I'm like, you're such a shit, but I love you.
Like, he's found that, when we're talking about Venom and we're talking about that bad guy, Jake Gyllenhaal's not doing that. He's found this perfect balance of figuring out how to make it personal, which he's done by affecting Peter Parker and convincing him that they're friends and convinced, you know, like, he's made that he's made it personal, which is what makes you more interested in the story. Mm-hmm. And then he's also found a bigger purpose, and you kind of understand his point of view.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everything with his plan, getting Edith, which I love. Edith is even dead, I'm the hero. It's like, oh, Tony.
Oh my God, I love that so much. It was so stupid.
So stupid, but so so perfect. I know, exactly. Yeah. Okay, so really fun little bit of trivia. The actor from the very first movie, that scientist who got away and caused some shenanigans, still managed to cause some shenanigans because Mysterio had contingencies, that sly schmucky devil. What's really cool about him is he's a director. He and Jon Favreau are friends. He is the little boy from A Christmas Story.
No.
Yes.
I love him.
Right?
Oh my God. Right? He's so old now.
He grew up. But yeah, a little bit of trivia for you.
I love that. That's so great. He's great. I love, like, yeah, all those tie backs to the original ones are just like perfect. Mm-hmm. Cherry on top.
And also everything with Nick Fury hijacking their vacation, and they got Dimitri, who looks like the last guy who should be operating a bus for school children with his leather jacket.
Oh. Yeah, and also a shout out to the two teachers in this movie.
Oh my God, they were
both of them hilarious. So, which, like, ridiculous. Oh, no teacher would ever behave like this. But
I know. Like, oh, okay. I love them. I know I'm repeating this, but I'm repeating it because it's true. Fully formed characters.
Yeah.
You had the one teacher who's like, witches, and the other one's like, do you need counseling? I mean, I'm not really qualified to do that, but I'm here for you. Like, just everything about their characterizations was so enjoyable.
I love that. Yeah, when he was like, do you need to speak to someone? And he's like, no. And he's like, good, because I'm not really qualified. He walked away.
Like, how they handled every situation with Nick Fury and them hijacking the trip, and just everything about it was so funny and so delightful. And, oh, actually, if I may make a quick tangent, the holograms, yeah. The weird trip. No, what? I'm sorry, what? No?
No, we don't do tangents on this podcast.
Excuse me.
Ever.
Yeah. So can we talk about those weird, amazingly creepy visuals when he was messing with Peter?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
So well done.
So well done. And my favorite one, and I'm so glad they did it, was the creepy zombie Iron Man.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
he was crawling out of his grave, and then, like, the zoom into his eye, and then it became, like, the helmet of Mysterio. I'm like, mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, like, you even saw, like, the teeth, like, this little bit of decomposition, and I was like, this is horror, and I love it.
Yeah, it's real good.
Yeah.
It's really good. Like, they were doing these series of comic book covers for a while called, like, Marvel Zombies, and then it became, like, a series of, like, Marvel superheroes that were zombies that were trying to survive. Anyway, it's ridiculous.
Oh, of course,
it's so ridiculous. Uh-huh. Kind of hilarious, though, because they're all like, we want brains! And then, like, they're all obsessed with eating people. It's really funny. Anyway,
I'm
but they're, like, doing a bunch of comic book covers with, like, zombified superheroes, so it reminded me of that.
I wouldn't be surprised if there was something intentional with that, like, if that was an Easter egg.
I'm sure it was, yeah.
I mean, I'm just learning about this now, but I love that addition because it wasn't necessary, but it was just so cool, and I was creeped out, and I love the fact that in the MCU, this is the true horror moment we've ever had in the MCU, and it was so creepy. I love
that. That's true. We haven't had, like, any Marvel horror.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe one day.
Maybe one day.
We'll cross.
I think it'll come from maybe Doctor Strange world or somewhere new.
That another element was just all the different, not hallucinations, but just these trippy set pieces that they created to mess with Peter were so well done.
So well done. And then when he's hit by the train, it was terrifying.
Like, amazing, but terrifying. Yeah.
It was really, really great. I thought it was really an awesome sequence. Loved it. Loved how, like, he kept stripping him down, like, to his costume, like, the sweater shirt that he was wearing for a while and stuff like that. I was like, this is great.
Yeah. So, it was
great. Yeah. At the end of the movie.
Yes.
It's a big reveal everybody, you know, they beat down Jake Gyllenhaal's Mysterio finally.
Yeah, and that whole last encounter between the two of them was so well done. Him having to channel his Peter Tingle, you know, just like him re-embracing himself, re-embracing who he is, that he has earned this position from Tony, which is a nice character arc for him. And just that showdown between the two of them was so good.
So good.
Yeah.
I mean, and yeah, like, so he's beating everyone up, and he's, like, blinded, basically, because there's just, like, another illusion. And he's being shot at by all these drones and stuff, and he's coming down the hallway and, like, beating all of them up and stuff like that. And he finally gets to Mysterio and takes him down. But there's a twist, and we'll talk about it.
Yes.
But he then reunites with MJ on the bridge after he, like, saves the day and, like, saves her and their Happy had brought all of them, like, you know, the important characters, basically.
The important students.
Yeah.
Like the A-team, let's be honest, the A-team of the students.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, everyone else is, like, fine. They're safe.
Yeah. Don't worry about them. They're fine. But the A-team.
Yeah. I did like seeing the diversity, because it did remind me of, like, I'm like, oh, this is, like, really a school in Queens.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this is representative of New York.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Like, there's, like, Black students and Hispanic students and a Muslim. Mm-hmm. And, like, I'm like, this is great.
Yeah,
like,
and then, and there's a trans student as well.
Trans, I mean, just, like, yeah, fucking, well, exactly. Awesome. I miss the trans student, but I'm happy they were there.
Yeah. but seriously.
I'm, like, really excited about it. I'm like, that's fucking awesome. I mean, Jessica Jones just had, like, a major trans character in the new season, by the way. And the new season's not bad. Everyone should watch it.
Cool. Good to know.
Yeah. So, and she's really, really cool. She's, like, the new secretary for Jessica Jones. And she's a badass. She's
nice.
Really, yeah. Anyway. So, at the end.
At the end, yes.
At the end, there's a recording of... All right. So, first, I don't know how to do all this. Okay. Spider-Man goes for a swing.
Can I help?
They're swinging through the city with MJ.
Yeah. So, they're back to America. They went on their little Euro trip. The day has been saved. Everything was great with Happy. Really quick, everything with Flash was amazing. I love Flash is another amazing character. His adoration of Spider-Man is such a great addition to him because he's such a dick to Peter. So it's just like this wonderful.
That's like the most redeeming part about him.
Yeah, because he's like really inspired. Because
otherwise, he's just a giant asshole. Yeah, you're like, I don't like you.
Yeah, but he's so inspired by him, and then he's like, "What's up, dickwad?"
It is good. Yeah, he's good. He's good in this. Yeah, I thought he was, like, served better in this than he was in the first one.
Me too.
Yeah, and you actually felt bad for him when his parents didn't show up.
That was an interesting little touch with his character. Like, is mother not here? Like, oh, this is why you're an asshole. We like, but, and this
parents
is...
Parents abandon you, you're rich, but your parents don't care about you.
Yeah, no. Once again, we didn't have to have that, but how nice that they added that. So, almost, like, practically every single character, it's like, oh, okay, that's why you are the way you are.
Well, it's interesting, too, because, like, Flash Thompson in the comics starts off as such, like, an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, through the time that Peter Parker kind of knows him, they become very friendly and, like, pretty close. So, this might be a nice opportunity to kind of do that in the MCU.
I think they're doing that. I mean, because think about it with what you're about to explain. I think they might be deviating into that.
I would be down for that. Like, I love redemption stuff like that. I love seeing friends become enemies and enemies becoming friends. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, like, the whole thing. Like,
it's that's what I don't know why that's so satisfying, but it is.
Yeah. You're like, oh, you were, like, my deepest, darkest foe, and now we're, like, palling it up, and, like, you would do everything. Me, and this is great.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, so at, like, they go swinging together, MJ and Peter, and it's really cute. And MJ's like, I'm never doing that again.
She hated it. It was adorable.
It's great. I was like, okay, good, because I would probably hate it too.
Because we have to remember, between the very last scene between Mysterio and Spider-Man, he said, I have contingency. And then when everything, you know, the drones are getting taken care of, the good guys are winning, we see scientists from the very first movie taking out a little hard drive with something downloaded on it.
So, okay, so Peter's like, oh, I better get going then, la la la, I have stuff to do. And she's like, great, because I don't want to do that again. I'm going home on the train. See you later. but then the big monitor in Times Square turns on, which I live in New York, guys. I've never, ever seen a big monitor turn. I mean, there's always... advertisements and stuff going on in Times Square, but like they don't speak to you, like they're not shouting. Anyway, it's fine.
Okay.
A moment of like every time I see that in like when in a movie, I'm like, okay.
I think everyone would just keep walking, like. I think that would be a more realistic version of that scene where they're playing this dastardly video and everyone just kind of glances up and they're like, whatever, and they just keep walking.
Oh, absolutely. They'd be like, ugh, it's Fox News, and just keep walking. Fuck you. Like the news reporter from Fox News who just kept trying to ask people questions while they were commuting. Did you see that video?
Yes.
I'm like, that's what this would be. Everyone's like, fuck you. I have to go to work.
Yeah.
Anyway, so J.K. Simmons pops on screen.
Oh, my God. It's a show. It's not a newspaper anymore, people. It's a television show.
A television show.
The Bugle.
Do you think it's like a web-based television
show? I think it's more web-based. I think it's probably something like on YouTube where he has his own channel. Probably the Fox Newsies love it a lot. I like seeing this very much... what's the term I'm trying to look for? But like propaganda spewing version of him. Oh. I thought, oh, this is fucking appropriate. And also, it's J.K. Simmons. I was like, nice. I love it. I support it. Thank you. All of us, a.k.a. me alone in the theater, clapped. I clapped.
I was very excited about J.K. Simmons popping up. I was like, holy shit, he's back. I did not even know. Like, no.
Me either. That was a lovely surprise.
Well kept secret, guys.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah.
That was great. No one spoiled that on Twitter. No one talked. Right? I was like, thank you.
For once, the internet, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if you didn't know to look it up, it wouldn't come up.
Exactly.
Anyway, so there's like manipulated footage of Spider-Man saying, and you know, shut it all down or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's manipulated to sound like he's having the drones.
They manipulated it.
You saw it more recently. I'm trying to bring it from.
Oh, no worries. They manipulated it so it sounded like he was using, he said, you know, use all the drones. In the real time, what he did was, use all the drones to stop all this nonsense and to stop the bad guys.
Right.
But what they did is they manipulated it by using that term so that it used all the drones to kill Mysterio, quote unquote.
Right. That's what
Yeah.
So then it looks like, okay, so Mysterio is still alive. We assume.
I'm assuming
it's all an illusion.
I fucking hope so because he was such an awesome villain.
He has to come back. I'm like, it's deep. And it's, also, like they kept the Falcon alive, and I'm like, you gotta keep your enemies around.
Dare I say he is this new phase's Loki? Am I premature to say that?
Oh.
Can I say that? May I say that?
He could, yeah.
You know what? I'm making that choice because I love him and I'm not biased at all. I think because he's so, for me at least, he's such a likable asshole. It's like, I don't want you to go.
No. I don't want like any of the bad guys to really die because I'm such a comic book nerd that I'm like, I just want this story to keep going. All like really long running. Mm-hmm. It's great. I'm like, Tom Holland looks like he's still like 19.
Yeah.
He looks like he's 16. So he can play this role for another 10, 15 years,
yeah,
right?
He's got, like, he's genetically blessed, so let's let him do that.
And, like, and Zendaya looks brilliant, wonderful, Ned. Like, they all look super young.
Yeah.
So, like, you guys just play these roles for another 10, 15 mm-hmm. years.
And even when it gets to that point, we're going to say, it's fine. Comic books.
We have Kamala Khan stepping in, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
I like it. I like these, like, fallbacks.
Me too. I like it. Yeah. So, we have this footage. Of him supposedly, Spider-Man supposedly killing Mysterio in a horrible way. And Mysterio, of course, is dying like, no, Peter, I'm a hero.
And then it's revealed that Spider-Man is Peter Parker. And then his face pops on the screen.
Yeah.
Peter in the Spider-Man costume goes, what the fuck? And then it cuts.
Which is nice. Another nice continuation. Like, I like it.
It'd be good. I can't wait.
That, and God, talk about a great place to stop the story because, of course, what the fuck's gonna happen in the next one? Ah! Everything about that, bringing back J.K. Simmons, this updated version of the Daily Bugle, topical and appropriate and just fun to watch. Thank you. Everything about that, and just this last little bit of Quentin saying, oh no, oh no.
Yeah.
Ha-ha.
It was so well done. I'm really excited about what they're doing with him next.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Parker, and also the world building that they've done. So yes. They've reintroduced. So at the end, we see Nick Fury mm-hmm. on a space station communicating with who we thought was Nick Fury.
Uh-huh.
It turns out to be two Skrulls in disguise as Nick Fury and Maria Hill, mm-hmm. which are the two Skrulls that we saw from Captain Marvel.
Yay!
Back with the vengeance. Don't know where their daughter is, but assuming she's okay.
Oh, I'm sure she's fine.
She's probably on the space station. Probably. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Love it. Love seeing them back.
Me too.
Love that Nick Fury is randomly on a space station.
He's done. He is done.
But surrounded by Skrulls.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, Nick Fury is never done. Nick Fury is never done. Samuel Jackson's like, I'm cool with playing this forever, so that's fine. Mm-hmm. He's never going to be out of these movies.
That's fine for me, yeah.
You know, I was like, great, love you, keep mm-hmm. you around forever, done.
Mm-hmm.
But the reveal at the end is interesting, too, because it reveals what's called sort of like S.W.O.R.D., which is like another protection agency, but it's more space-based mm-hmm. in the Marvel Universe, which stands for Sentient World Observation and Response Department.
Ooh.
Which is headed usually by a woman named Abigail Brand, which... people are thinking maybe Sharon Stone is going to play.
Shut the fuck up.
But we're not sure.
I want that right now.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm excited about that. And then I was like, well, maybe Gina Davis? Because I know she wants to be in the MCU.
We'll just get other characters. Let them both be in it.
Oh, totally. No, yeah. I'm like...
But I totally see what you mean. Like,
I know, like, Gina Davis has been on the record for a while being like, I really want to be in the MCU.
Let's get her into the MCU, people.
Like, let her play an X-Men. Just whatever. The fuck she wants, just come.
Yeah, just let her be in it. Oh, yeah. I love that.
So that would be really cool. Abigail Brand is fucking awesome, by the way. She's, like, part alien, I think, and she, like, wears all green and has green hair, and she's fucking rad. So my question is, though, like, because there's a Skrull, what's called the Skrull Invasion in the Marvel comic books.
Right.
So I'm curious if they're going to do, like, a play on that at some point to sort of try and figure out a way to, like, solve the outing of Peter Parker. Oh, he was replaced by a Skrull. It's not really Peter Parker at all.
That would be interesting, yeah.
Because I don't know. I mean, I'm throwing it out there because I'm like, how are they going to... Like, you can't have Peter Parker be out. Like, you have to, like, figure out a way to, like, get him back in, basically, into his costume and not be found out.
I also thought it was another interesting way to tie into the very first Iron Man. They've already done that in certain ways, but I thought this was a nice little flip on that because in the first one, it's Tony Stark being Tony Stark saying, yeah, that's me. Whereas this one, there was another reveal, but he was outed against his will. So I thought that was a nice throwback, but also flipping it on its head.
I did, yeah, that's a great parallel to the original, the original Iron Man to this new Spider-Man story.
Yeah.
It's really good. They're doing a great job. So why I'm like constantly surprised by doing a good job. I'm like, oh, you've done it again.
Yeah,
you've
but done it's a joy
a really
to,
good job.
But it's nice to see that they're not being lazy because they know people are going to come and see it.
It's true.
Because there are franchises, X-Men, where they get lazy and they just assume people are going to see it so they don't try that hard. So it's nice to have something like Marvel where they know people are going to see it. Regardless, they're going to make sure, it's particularly with the Spider-Man movies, like, no, this is going to be a good fucking movie.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm really excited about whatever movie comes out next. I don't even know what they're working on.
Yeah.
I don't know what's next.
So we have a quiz, everyone.
We do have a quiz. I'm excited.
Yeah. So we are going to take a quiz, BuzzFeed, of course. Which Spider-Man Far From Home character are you?
And I like this quote, keep up the good work because I'm going on vacation. I'm like,
yeah, yeah. Okay, you ready?
I am.
All right, let's do it. So, first question, who's your favorite Avenger? Iron Man, Thor, Black Widow, Hulk, Hawkeye, Captain America?
Who do you pick?
That's hard.
It is hard.
This used to be a much easier question for me to answer.
Who was it before?
Before, it was Iron Man, but since they did such a good job of developing the other ones with the succeeding movies, I went, oh, shit. I have to say Thor. He's a derp. I love derps.
He's great.
Yeah.
I think comic book-wise, I would pick Black Widow mm-hmm. because she's so badass in the comics. Like,
right.
She's really just such a freaking fascinating character.
Mm-hmm.
But movie version, I would say Captain America.
Good. Yeah, that's my second choice.
like, I love Iron Man, and I'm going to miss him, but I'm really going to miss Chris Evans.
Yeah. Oh, it's like picking a favorite kid. Like, I love all of them. It's like,
What's your favorite movie?
Ooh.
The Avengers, Age of Ultron, Civil War, Infinity War, Endgame, or Homecoming?
Ooh.
God of War.
Oh.
Well, not Age of Ultron. That was not great.
Yeah. Oh, God damn it. But I love the fact that I'm having a difficult time.
That's how you know they're good. That's how you know they're good.
I will say Civil War.
Civil War.
Yeah.
I'm having such a hard time.
I know.
I think I'm going to pick Endgame. Okay. No. No, I'm going to pick the Avengers.
Avengers? That was my second one.
Yeah. I like Endgame, but there's too many critiques I had of it that I'm like, right, I can't.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Avengers. The Avengers started everything off, guys.
For sure. All right. Which Infinity Stone are you most drawn to?
No.
Soul Stone, Time Stone, Power Stone, Reality Stone, Space Stone, Mind Stone. I would pick the Time Stone.
I was going to say the Reality Stone. But now I'm sort of liking Mind Stone, because then I can control everyone.
Mm.
Yep, Mind Stone. Okay, great. Who's your favorite Guardian of the Galaxy?
Mm-hmm.
Gamora, Drax, Mantis, Star-Lord, Rocket Raccoon, or Groot?
I think Rocket Raccoon. He's such a little asshole. I love him.
I know, me too.
Such an asshole. But Drax is number two, though, for me.
Drax is great.
Yeah.
I'd probably pick Rocket Raccoon, Groot, Gamora, Star-Lord, Drax, Mantis.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Rocket Raccoon.
Okay. All right. Who's your favorite character? Oh, crap. Doctor Strange, Ant-Man, Captain Marvel, Black Panther, The Wasp, Bucky Barnes.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't know this was going to be so difficult. Oh, God damn it. Okay, I'm going to go with Captain Marvel.
I'm going to go with Black Panther, I think. Just by an ooch.
I know. It's hard. It's hard.
Like, but tomorrow could be Black. It could be Captain Marvel. Where would you rather go on vacation? Venice, Prague, New York City, London, Berlin, or Tokyo?
God damn it.
Well, I don't want to go to New York City. I live here.
You live there.
So that's easy.
Okay, I've been to London. And
I want to go to Venice.
Yeah. Oh, God, for me, it's between, as far as, like, a vacation. Oh, God, Venice, Prague, Berlin, Tokyo. That is so hard. Okay, I'm going to pick Prague. I've always wanted to go to Prague.
Do it.
Okay.
Oh, no. What did you get?
Say your answer.
I got Nick Fury.
Nice.
You're determined, strong, and suffer no fools.
Yeah.
You see the best in everyone you meet and know when to push people to get them to become their best self.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Okay, I got Mysterio.
Didn't I see that while we were talking about the movie?
Maybe. Yeah. Shut up.
Basically Mysterio.
That's a compliment. Thank you.
I'm thinking of such.
The fact that I'm kind of on that path already, you know, as an aspiring actor. Oh, God, I'm seeing my future, everyone. You're Mysterio. You're somewhat of a mystery, but we have a feeling you might have some nefarious intentions, or maybe you're really a hero. Yeah, maybe I'm really a hero.
But probably not.
Shut up. I like my answer.
I like your answer, too.
I feel vindicated.
I just want to know if I'm like Nick Fury as a Skrull or just Nick Fury.
Oh, good question, because of this movie. Are you Nick Fury on the simulated beach?
Ideally.
Ideally, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, I feel very vindicated. Wow. Thank you, BuzzFeed. I know I made the right choices because, yes, I am. Yeah.
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 I agree with that.
Thank you.
I think that's right.
Thank you. I agree with yours. You are. Yeah, the way I described it.
I am. I'm strong and I suffer no fools.
This is true.
Thank you.
This is true.
So, guys. Oh, we have to rate it.
Oh, yeah. Duh.
God, only have done like 50 plus episodes of this. Yeah. Still haven't gotten it down.
It's fine.
Don't worry about it. We should just do it out of how many elementals.
There we go. I love it.
You haven't mentioned the elementals yet? They were in this movie.
There we go. Boom.
One was a reference to Sandman and one was a reference to Hydro Man, and then there's two other ones.
Very good. That was beautiful. Nicely done.
That's all you need to know.
There you go.
I mean, I don't think they're ever going to do anything with Hydra Man or Sandman in these movies. So I think this is like them being like, here. Great.
Here they are, kind of. There you go.
Yeah, we're not going to we did Sandman and Spider-Man 3. It didn't work out.
There we go. Yeah. All right, everyone. So, out of five elementals, honestly, I'm going to give this 4.5 because I really fucking like this movie. I don't know.
Wow.
I really love that. I had such a great fucking time watching it. The acting was great. The writing was great. The character dynamics, just seeing everyone interact with each other. I love everything they did with Mysterio, the way the movie ended. Just, it was so joyful.
I love that. I think I'm more like a 4.
Mm-hmm.
4 elementals out of 5. I don't really have anything bad to say about it. I'm so apprehensive about going too high. But it's really fucking good.
Right?
If you haven't seen this yet, go see this movie. It's really fucking good.
Exactly. You'll feel good walking away from this movie.
Yes. And every once in a while, like, one of my favorite characters, MJ, will say something snarky and political, and I'll be like, I like you a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, guys, thanks for tuning in.
Thank you.
Please rate, review, subscribe.
Tell your Peters, tell your MJs and your Neds and your Bettys, even your Flashes. He's got, let him know.
Tell your Aunt May. That's the most important thing.
Absolutely. And if you take the quiz, let us know your results. Are you awesome like me and also a Mysterio?
Are you possibly a Skrull, but also awesome and Nick Fury?
Yeah. Let us know. We want to know.
I want to know what the answers are to getting Spider-Man. I want to know how you get Peter Parker. I mean, not enough to, like, actually take it over and over again.
Yeah.
But.
That's true. I'm curious. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, you guys. Have a good night or day or whatever.
Yeah. Have a good one, guys. And we will catch you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.